Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a fantastic weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 21st of July. Coming up today, we'll hear from a campaigner in Whitstable who's backing calls for a major overhaul to the water system. And I've spoken to a Kent homelessness charity who have taken part in the trial of a new scheme that could change the future of support. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a fundraiser has been launched for a 30-year-old man from Chatham who's thought to be the only adult in the UK to be diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Alex Abel started experiencing a pain in his shoulder in 2023 but thought it was a gym injury. He eventually went to hospital and had surgery to remove a rhabdoid tumour. They're extremely rare, with only 11 cases ever recorded in Europe. The disease creates a spider-like web from cells spreading to other parts of the body, making it one of the most lethal forms of cancer. He's had intense radiotherapy and chemotherapy, which has led to some positive results. But earlier this month, things took a turn for the worse. Alex's mother-in-law, Katie Dine, has been telling us what happened.
I finished work and went straight to the hospital with Ellie. And when we got there, the consultant said, "Oh, I'm glad you're all here." So it was us, obviously, Ellie, Alex, his mum, his sister, and his aunt. "Glad you're all here. We'll be back in 10 minutes. And I thought then, something's not right. And they come in, the doctor come in with the Macmillan nurse and sat us down and sort of went all around the houses asking us all these questions about Alex's treatment up until now. And then he said, "Well, all that aside, Alex, I'm really sorry to tell you, but your team in London have decided to cease treatment as of today." And the kids, Ellie and Alex, just burst out crying. His mum just lost all colour. His sister was hysterical. On the Monday, Ellie spoke to his oncology nurse, who said the decision has been made because the tumours in the upper spine are moving too quickly. He's now got 7 tumours in his spine in total. The ones in the lower spine have reduced a little since the chemo. The ones in the brain have responded positively to the chemo, but these few in the upper back are moving too aggressively, and we just feel like, you know, we can't get a handle on it, basically. And that was their decision then. They said that they felt that Alex would have a better quality of life not having the treatment. Alex said, "Well, I've got no life if I don't have the treatment. What if I would like it? Could you support it? I'll take whatever the risks are." And they said no.
The family's launched a GoFundMe page as they seek private treatment outside of the UK. Some of the options include travelling to Germany or Mexico. So far, £25,000 has been donated. They're hoping to reach a goal of £180,000. In other news today, a man's been charged with murder following the death of a man in his 60s in Dartford. The victim was found after police and paramedics were called to a property in Dunlop Close on the 5th of July. 29-year-old Doran Chiorba from Longbridge Road in Barking was later arrested. He's also been charged with robbery. An Amazon driver who died when his van was struck by a train at a level crossing in Tenham has been named. Brandon Hatcher from Ashford was killed at the Bax Crossing earlier this month. The 23-year-old is being remembered as a great friend who loved his family.
Kent Online News.
An inquest into the death of a Broadstairs man who died while awaiting sentencing for sex offences has found he took his own life. Lyndon Brown had been found guilty last November of carrying out sex attacks on 2 teenage girls 2 decades ago. The 60-year-old, who lived in Hopeville Avenue, denied the charges and was found unresponsive in a hotel room in Margate on February 7th. The coroner concluded his death was suicide. It's been revealed the number of assaults on emergency workers in Kent has risen by 12% in just 1 year. There were 2,370 27 recorded cases last year. That's 254 more than in 2023. The government wants to tighten the laws to protect emergency workers making house calls from abuse in private homes. We've been hearing from a Cairn campaigner as a report calls for a major overhaul of the water sector. 88 recommendations have been made in a government-commissioned review to help tackle sewage spills, leaky pipes and rising bills. They include mandatory meters, a social tariff for vulnerable households and a single regulator to give customers better protection. It follows research last week that shows a 60% rise in serious pollution cases across England last year. Southern Thames and Yorkshire Water were responsible for 81% of them. Catherine Chapman is from campaign group SOS Whitstable.
Year on year, it's getting worse and worse. You have report after report after report, and they all say the same thing. When we did our first protest, we thought that this was going to be, foolishly, we thought this was going to be like a one and done. And we are now planning our fourth summer protest. It's surprising, one, that we are still here year after year talking about the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day. And that things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Our water bills down in Kent for Southern Water are going up over 50%. I know that's the same, but similar in London. We've got the biggest price raises. And yeah, and still nothing is happening. Still nothing is changing. And it's not like, and even if they cite things like climate change or population growth, these are not new things. This is not a surprise. Like, you've got one job, water. Just do it and do it well, because we're paying you. We've just had a local case with a local gentleman that refused to pay the sewage part of his water bill. And I'm sure it was covered with you guys. And they basically found that regardless of if Southern Water were providing the service that they should be, he still has to pay his bill. And I mean, that in any other system or circumstance would not be tolerated.
Water companies insist they're investing to meet the environmental requirements.
Kent Online News.
Heavy rain's been causing travel disruption and flash flooding across Kent today. There have been several crashes, including in Canterbury, Herne Bay and on the M20. At Kent Online, you can see pictures of huge puddles across local roads. It's as a yellow weather warning for thunderstorms is in force until 9 tonight. Six people from Kent have been jailed for their role in a family-run crime group headed up by a 65-year-old woman. The operation saw more than £80 million worth of cocaine moved across the UK over a seven-month period. It was organised by a ringleader known as Queen Bee. Three people from Ashford and two others from Staplehurst have been sentenced to a combined total of more than 75 years. The London woman, known as Queen Bee, was sentenced to 20 years. Kent cabbies have hit back at decisions to grant Uber new licences in two new districts, saying they won't be able to stay competitive. Commuters will now be able to order a taxi via the app in Tunbridge Wells and Canterbury. Council bosses have defended their decision on the grounds that Uber has met all of the required criteria. Councillors in Dartford are debating new measures to crack down on houses of multiple occupation. The number of HMOs in the town has nearly doubled recently, and councillors want to discuss ways to better regulate them. It comes as the council look at how these properties are impacting local communities and services. A green space in Ashford, which was used by families for over 50 years, has failed to sell at auction. The land off Quantock Drive was fenced off earlier this month, sparking anger from residents. It went under the hammer for £10,000, but they didn't find a buyer. Local councillor Paul Bartlett is trying to get the plot declared a village green to stop any future development. Now, the owner of a Kent animal sanctuary in Kent says she's hoping for a miracle with her eviction deadline just weeks away. Amy James was told in December she had just 9 months to move Happy Pants Ranch off the site in Newington near Sittingbourne. Since then, she's been trying to raise £500,000 to keep her 400 animals where they are. She says they're looking at other options in case the fundraising fails.
Basically, the land that the sanctuary has been on for 4.5 years is now up for sale and is available for the charity to buy. And the only issue is that obviously it's a lot of money. It's £500,000, which is a lot of money in anyone's estimation. And without it, basically, if we can't buy the land, then obviously we will have to relocate. And our deadline is the 2nd of September, which is less than 7 weeks away, I believe. So yeah, it's a huge fee, and obviously we're trying to raise the money, but we're obviously looking at other options as well in case that fails, because it is a huge thing to amount of money to have to raise, and we're only a small charity, but obviously we have to give it a shot because you never know. But at the same time, we're obviously looking for another bit of land to buy that might be cheaper, a bit of land that we can rent, even if it's just temporarily, to obviously help us get off this land in time. And also at the same time as well, we are looking for homes for, a lot of the animals. The less animals we have to move with, then it will make everything easier. So especially our very sort of more easily homed animals, such as like domestic animals like cats, ferrets, rabbits, things like that, guinea pigs and things like that. Obviously some are less likely to be rehomed, and a lot of them are special needs in the first place, and obviously that's why they ended up here. But we do have to, at least we're just exploring all options at the moment. Like, we've literally everything to lose, so yeah, everything, anything. If anyone's got any contacts with anyone famous, like big animal lovers out there, like Ricky Gervais, we're always trying to get in touch with Ricky. Be like, please help us out, because it's such an amazing, worthy cause, and we've had so much trouble over the last 5 years. Everybody keeps saying at some point you'll get some good luck, it's everything's going to work out and things will become less stressful, and I just keep thinking, oh my God, when? Because people always say, right, things can't get any worse, and then something happens and it gets worse.
So far, they've raised more than £22,000.
Kent Online News.
Canterbury City Council is set to approve plans for a quirky new council home in the city designed to help deter crime. The 11 rented properties near Sturry Road will have huge windows and form an L shape to encourage neighbours to interact and keep an eye on things. The council's planning committee makes its final decision tomorrow. A care home operator has pulled out of plans for a multi-million pound retirement complex in Faversham. McCarthy Stone say it's because they couldn't make sure there was safe pedestrian access for residents. The land on Beaumont Davy Close is now back on the market for £1.3 million. Head over to the main page at Kent Online to see new drone images of a new £20 million school expansion near Dover. Work's been carried out to transform the old Warmer Science College site on Salisbury Road. It'll help accommodate up to 240 additional pupils with special educational needs and disabilities when it opens in September. Elsewhere, work has started on a new £20 million expansion of Sainsbury's in Tunbridge. The supermarket at the Angel Centre is set to double in size, taking over from the former Beals department store next door. It's expected to be finished by next summer. Now, a Kent homelessness charity has been part of a trial scheme to reshape the future of support. Clients at Porchlight in Canterbury were given a one-off payment of up to £4,000 to spend on whatever they liked. Many used the money to clear debts, furnish new homes, or pay for qualifications. I've been chatting to Tom Newmark, who is the chief executive of Porchlight.
This was a fantastic initiative where Porchlight worked with people who'd previously been sleeping rough, and we agreed with them a personal budget of up to £4,000 that they could spend on pretty much anything that legally they could buy. They purchased those items through us. So we bought them. The money didn't go into their account. We bought the items for them. And because it was a trial, there was a lot of evaluation and looking at things in quite a scientific, academic way to see the life-changing impact of this one-off sum of money had on people who'd been previously rough sleeping.
And so what was the thinking behind it? It's so that if you would allocate this funding to people who are sleeping rough, it's an opportunity for them to clear debts, sort themselves out a house. What was the sort of the thinking behind giving them a one-off large sum?
I guess it starts from an observation that there's a difference between a house and a home. And so it's fantastic to get someone who's been previously sleeping rough into their own house. But how do they build a life? How do they build a sense of purpose from that when they need to kit that out, when they want to do a qualification, when they have debts they need to pay? And it came from the observation that if we gave people this one-off chance, it could help them build a sense of purpose and a life, really. And so that would help them get that sense of purpose, but it would also reduce the risk that they become homeless again and the revolving door would continue. Because one of the key things that keeps you in your home is a sense of purpose, is a sense of, I've got something to live for. So I'll give you an example. One of the women who took part used the money to buy a sofa bed. And she said, this means my daughter can come around and stay with me. When I was on the street, when I was using, I didn't have any contact with her. Now I'm clean. This is a new chance. And this is a chance for me to build my relationship with my daughter. And obviously, having a really supportive relationship with your friends and family, that's one of the best things that's going to keep you in home and give you a sense of purpose. So that's where the kind of ideas came from. And people went very wide with it, bought lots of different interesting things. I can give you some examples about that.
Before we get to the examples, I just wanted to sort of say, I suppose the way that this trial works is the one-off payment allows them to make sort of bigger purchases all in one go, that the other support schemes that offer smaller financial doses, I suppose, in separate installments won't allow them to do.
That's a really good point. So what often will happen for people who've previously been experienced homelessness is they're very good at managing day to day, week to week. And so you put someone into their new home, then they've got their regular costs, they have some income, and they manage that out. But doing anything more than managing is impossible on that type of money. So a one-off sum can just mean you almost get moved into a different world. You get that ability to really change things significantly rather than just managing, rather than just treading water and keeping your head above water.
So can you give me some more examples of how people have been spending their money?
One of the big things that people spent their money on was exactly what you said, which was clearing arrears. So people would get debts, council tax debts, housing arrears, mortgage, credit card payments, things like that. So clearing those off, fantastic thing to do and gives people just a better chance. But lots more diverse things than that as well. And lots of things you wouldn't necessarily expect. Driving lessons, buying a laptop so you could do a course. Even one fantastic example, a wedding. So the people got married, they could have a nice wedding and they're living together. They actually met through our projects, and some of our staff and volunteers were invited to the wedding. But people using it for a much broader range of things than you maybe would narrowly assume that people would want to spend it on. And it's part of that creativity, part of that choice, that control, that empowerment that is saying to people, you're in charge of your own life now. Here's some money. Go ahead and live your life.
I've also been speaking to Sarah. She was selected as one of the people to receive the funding. She's been telling me what it means to her.
That I've been awarded funding, that I was in a category for the funding, and the difference that made is astronomical, to be honest, because I had this property and I had nothing in it. You know, supported accommodation, everything is supplied. When you move on, you've then got to, that's all down to you to arrange and sort out. So what the grant actually did was enable me to buy everything for the property that I needed.
And what does that mean for your life? I remember reading in the press release that now it means that you can have your family can come and stay to visit. How has that changed your life, being able to go home to a property that's got proper furniture in it?
It's just massive. I haven't got any worries. It's my safe space. I don't need to be going to launderettes. I don't need to be sourcing food every day, because I can keep it all there. I can cook. I can have my children around, you know, and have dinners with them, which I've done. It's opened up so many doors for me.
And it sounds like for you, it was a pretty easy decision on what you were going to spend the money on. Was there any other thoughts about where the money might, you know, could have gone?
For me, no. It was about getting the things I needed for the flat so that I could live comfortably.
And from here, Sarah, what has this given you the opportunity to do now? What does the future look like for you now that you've been able to set yourself up?
Well, I've got my home, I feel safe in. Moving forward, there's loads of different opportunities coming up. I'm now getting the mental health support that I have tried for years to get and failed. So I'm now working through other issues that I had. So it's meant, yeah, it's a completely different life now. Totally.
Now the funding was allocated as far as I understand, as a trial. So they're just seeing how it goes, awarding these people money to help them, get back on their feet. Is it something that you'd like to see continue?
I would like to see other people benefit in the way that I have, because the difference it's made to my life. It's life changing, and these things, they just don't happen. And if it can make the difference to me that it has, then how many other people that have been in my position that still are, would that make a difference for? I would love to see it again.
This trial is part of a 3-year test involving 54 organisations across the country.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football now, when the Gillingham manager is confident the goals will come this season and has asked for fans not to judge the side just yet. It comes after a 2-0 defeat to Luton Town in the weekend's pre-season friendly. Gareth Ainsworth has given us his reaction after the match.
A very strong team against us today. I think they're going to be right up there at the top of League One. They've got a serious squad and some really good players, and I think that's great. It shows the level where we want to get to and where, where we have to be. I thought second half we were so much better. We pressed higher and we went higher as a whole team. First half we gave a bit of respect to them. The goals really, I think we could avoid at least one of them. They never really carved us apart, which was really good to see. But they had plenty of ball, and you're going to expect that when you're playing a team that's just come out of the Championship. So fair play to Luton. But not really pleased. Good run out for the boys. We obviously had the penalty miss, and Clarkie will be gutted at that. But I'm sure in the league we'll stick those in. We had some chances in that second half, with the want of just a bit of quality, bit of clever play around the box. I think we'll get in and we'll score goals. Everyone will be saying we need to score goals, and I know that. We will. We'll get there. We have a couple of chances today, which I think, you look at Luton's game so far, and we've given them a good test. The manager's just told me that we're decent, a good side. And League Two is going to be a lot different when we play those sides. But we've got two games coming up now. I'll rotate around now for the next two games and make sure most players got 90 minutes under their belt come Accrington, and that's the important one, going up there, putting a plan in place and making sure we can be competitive in this league.
Gillingham's League Two campaign kicks off against Accrington Stanley on August the 2nd. To rugby, and the British and Irish Lions have gone 1-0 up in the Test Series against Australia. They beat the Waratahs 27-19 in the opening game in Brisbane on Saturday. Kent's Alex Mitchell came off the bench to make his seventh straight appearance for the Lions on this tour. To cricket, and if you missed the result on Friday, Kent are through to the quarterfinals of the T20 Blast. They secured a dramatic victory over Essex at Canterbury, with Tawanda Mie and Harry Finch sharing a 114-run partnership. The Spitfires will travel to take on North Group winners Lancashire Lightning in their quarterfinal match on Saturday, the 6th of September. And speculation is mounting Chatham-born Moses Itoma could next be in the ring with undisputed world heavyweight boxing champion Alexander Usyk. The Ukrainian fighter took the title after beating Daniel Dubois at Wembley Stadium last night. Meanwhile, a win for Itoma in his Riyadh fight next month could see him be in the line for a crack at the title, according to promoter Frank Warren. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.